All right. So, thing I want to talk about, and I've got a couple of different things that I keep, I've kept trying to decide, well, should I say this or should I say the other? And so, this morning, there's something else that came. So, one of the things that I'll start off with, if we remember, when the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt, they cried out to God, and they really were excited. And they understood that God loved them, right? And they started out and they were great, and they were grateful. But it didn't take long for them to start to complain. Now, one of the things that I noticed is that we're all grateful and we all understand, and when we hear that God loves us and that he cares for us, we're excited, very excited. But one of the things that struck me is that God gives a command. He asks us to love him with all of our hearts, soul, and bodies. And I think one of the things that happens, we sort of forget at some point that his love is never going to change. And we get sidetracked by things that happen in our lives, and then we start to wonder whether he really loves us or not. Right? So these things show up in various ways. As with the children of Israel, they were out in the desert. And one of the things that they started to complain about is not having water. And started to complain about that against Moses. One of the things that they started to do is in that process of complaining, they forgot that God really cared for them. At this point, the complaint is that God doesn't care about us. He brought us out here to kill us. He brought us out here to die. And he no longer loves us. They went so far as to make a golden calf and said, "This is the God who brought us up out of Egypt," and didn't acknowledge who he was. One of the things that struck me as well is that the part about acknowledging God is something that we all need to do. If we think about our own lives and we were in sin and struggling with various issues, and God comes in and he frees us from those things, sometimes we forget that we were in bondage. One of the ways that exhibits itself is that there may be someone else. After we've been free, there's someone else that may suffer with the same issue that you had. And we can be very, very hard on them. Or you ought to know you should be doing such and such. Also, part of that, we will not acknowledge what God has done for us. We'll pretend that we've always been righteous, rather than acknowledging that he is the one that made us righteous. Some people, as you listen to them about how great God is, but they will never tell you anything that happened in their lives that God brought them out of. Because they don't want to acknowledge God in that. That is very crucial with our walk. One of the things, like for example, if I'm here and I can share about things about my life and things that I have done, a lot of people can't do that. Because they would think, well, you're thinking that I was a bad person, or you may think I'm still a bad person. Well, It is acknowledging who God is. And when you can't acknowledge the things that you've done, you can be blackmailed. You can't share with people because I'm afraid they may find out something about me. You're afraid to walk as God is leading you in the Spirit to do things that are right and pleasing in His sight and say, hey, follow me. Well, I can't tell them to follow me because I did X, Y, Z before and I don't want them to know. So it stifles everything you do as it comes to the Lord. If you're going out to witness to someone, I hope they don't say anything about this. Or you go somewhere and somebody else knows you, knew you from the past. See, one of the things that's very clear, even when you're in the military and you're going, getting a clearance, one of the biggest things is you let them know everything about your life. How much more as we, as believers, that are ashamed of things that we did to glorify God at the point of what He has delivered us from. And you're able to witness to people. Sometimes one of the things that I really think is that God has put many of us through a lot of different circumstances because there are other people that He wants to reach that have the same problem. I would have a very difficult time talking to somebody about doing drugs. I could, of how great God is and keep you from. A lot of times, well, have you ever done drugs? Well, no. Well, somebody who has been really caught up in drugs, maybe God brought you through that just so that you can help somebody else. Just so that you can say, I know God is real. In that circumstance, I can't say that I know God can bring me out. I know that He could bring anybody out of anything. I can speak as a firsthand witness of what He's done for me. And one of the things that acknowledging God is in the scriptures and Proverbs. Proverbs 32:5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Now, you know, we're talking about one another, even sharing about what we've done. But many people can't go to God wide open, but they want to pretend I haven't done anything. This happens a lot with people who grow up as believers, and they want to think that they are righteous. They forget that all of us have sinned. But since I haven't done any of the big things, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't stole from anyone. I haven't killed anyone. So we put these things up. I give my tithe, I feed the poor, I do all of these good things. But yet, when they go to God, they don't say, Lord, forgive me. Not a general prayer of forgive me for my sins. Be specific. Say exactly what it was. Remember, under the old covenant, the people were to say exactly what their sin was. Be open with Him, and He will forgive you. If He knows it, what do you care about whether anybody else knows about it? You can be open and share your life with others, and you will be respected for that. There are some people that will hold it over your head forever. Oh, but I knew you when. I knew you when. And that, for a lot of us, that's fear. We won't share with them. We won't, well, I don't want them to come around and say that. But you have a very good testimony. You can say that God took me out of that. I no longer have a desire to do those things. I've shared this once before. When I used to go down and minister at Lorton, there was a gentleman there that was in jail. And he was talking to one of the news reporters or stations. And they were asking him about the drug programs. His testimony was that none of them work. All of the drug rehabilitation programs, none work. The reason why they don't work is because the desire is still there. His words to them, once he came to the Messiah, the desire went away. So we can apply that to anything in our lives that we have struggled with time and time again. We know it's wrong. We try in our own power to not to do it. I've been there lots of times. As I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian family. I knew the right things to do, but I thought, well, I don't do any of these other things. But the Lord had to show me where I was short. So I struggled because I thought I could overcome. I didn't realize that I needed Him to take these things away. There are some scriptures, I believe it's in John 17, maybe. I was reading these scriptures probably about 6 months because there were things in there that I just could not believe. Where Yeshua was praying to his Father, that he prayed that we would be in him and that he would be in us. And that we would be in the Father. And that we would be one. I looked at that and I go, come on. I tried to read other scriptures, but that's the only one I could read. Until one time, the Lord made it clear. Who's lying? You or me? That taught me a big lesson. And I realized that I couldn't do it on my own. And once I repented for unbelief, because I was basically saying, God, you're not telling the truth. I don't believe that. This can't possibly be, because I'm walking along and, you know, I don't do these other things and all that stuff, but this one thing is really bugging me and I can't get rid of it. Why not? And so I said right there, when he said that, repented for unbelief, and then said, okay, if that's so, then I'm done. You'll have to take this away from me. And he did. I didn't even realize that he did. I'm walking along, and there was no temptation. There was no pull. So if you're in a point that you're, okay, I know this is the wrong thing to do, and well, I'll make the circumstances so that I won't do them. You're not free. You're not free. You're still trying to work in your own power to prevent yourself from doing something that God Himself and through Yeshua is the only one that can remove out of your system. and cause you to walk in his ways. Acknowledging God and what he's done is very important. I think in Romans, God talks about, at least Paul writes about Romans 1:28, where he talked about people that fail to acknowledge God. He turned them over to reprobate mind. We must acknowledge God in all we do. We can't do anything without him. You can't even breathe. You can't walk. You can't talk. There's nothing that you do that you can do without him. And without him empowering you to be able to do these things. And sometimes as believers, we look over at an unbeliever, well, why not? Nothing's happening to them? You know, they're doing all this rotten stuff. And God, that's not fair. It's not that he's unfair. He's merciful. He gives people many, many, many opportunities to come to him. I went to a funeral yesterday. A guy that we grew up with. And he passed away. Because, well, he did a lot of drugs and alcohol. There have been many, many times that this fellow was in the hospital, called it, the doctors called his family. We don't think he's going to make it. But God brought him back. He continued, he would go to the drug rehabilitation places and get straightened out for a little bit. But see, the desire was still there. He didn't have the Lord, or he didn't trust the Lord to help him with this. Anything in your life that you see that you'd like to overcome, you can overcome in Yeshua. Anything. I don't care how difficult, whether it's been something that's been a part of you for years. The thing is that Yeshua can free you from that. He's able to come in. Now, one of the first part of this is starting off and acknowledging who God is, receiving Yeshua, and repent. One of the first pieces is to repent. And then allow him to clean you up. A lot of times people repent and then start to make themselves righteous. They start to work at it. Okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to talk to that person because they'll influence me to be back where I was. I'll move here. I'll get do this. All of these things. When the only thing that you need to do is, Lord, help me. I know I'm doing X, Y, Z. Please help me. He will answer that. If you want to be righteous, you can be. He's not going to withhold anything from a person who desires to be righteous. He knows what's in your heart. You must be open, honest about whatever sin it is. Don't come with excuses. Well, if such and such hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been here or there. The one person that we can look in Scripture and see that exemplifies this is David. And we have another king that we compare to, Saul. When Saul was caught in whatever sin that he did, his first thing was to blame somebody else.
David repented right away.
So if God brings something to you or somebody else says, hey, brother, you did X, Y, Z. Is that right? Repent. Repentance is very important. Don't think, okay, I can do it tomorrow. The day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You don't know whether you're going to live 20 seconds from now. So anything that you do, always ask the Lord to help you. And if there's a sin in your life, submit it to him. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't make excuses. Don't think of ways to, well, if I do this. No. Let him free you. Because he may send you back in the same circumstances. And he's got somebody else that he wants you to bring out through you. Allow his spirit to guide you and give you directions. Allow his spirit to cause you to walk in his ways. You can't do it otherwise. You can try all the kind of methods you want to try, but it's only through Yeshua and through his spirit that you are able to walk day to day without falling. Anybody believe that? Amen. Practice that. If something comes to your mind, repent. Don't make excuses, please. He don't want to hear that. And he knows. And if you say, well, I brought it to him, I repented, but I'm still, something's wrong. Who's telling the fib? You or him? Right? Who's lying? One of you has to be lying, and I'm sure it's not God. All right? So if you're there and you go, well, okay, nothing really happened. Go back and says, Lord, I didn't believe you. I help me with my unbelief. Repent from unbelief. And he will use you in any way that he wants. Be open to that. Don't hold things back. Well, I don't want to go here, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to say this. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look foolish in front of people. Sorry. You already put in conditions to him. Say, I want what you have. I want to walk righteously, but I don't want to love you, and I don't want to do what you say. One of the things about loving God is that, as Yeshua says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So a part of that whole thing is being willing to now do whatever he wants you to do. Don't hold back anything. Just don't hold back. Just allow him to guide you in all that you do. Amen.